Tonight, and I'd ask that you pray for us. This one is, follows the theme of some of the things we've been preaching on the last few Sunday nights, and it seems like it's been a reoccurring theme to preach toward the church on Sunday night, and for whatever reason that might be, you know, the Lord knows all things. He knows what we need, when we need it, and how we need it, and I think, again, this will probably fall in line with some of the things we've preached in times past, but God knows what we need tonight, and He knows what we stand in need of. If you'd like to turn with us in your Bibles, the second book of John, very small book in the Bible, so we're going to read it all tonight. I read a lot this morning, and this is not all that much in there. But it is probably familiar reading, or at least I hope to some of you it may be. And I believe that the writer, and I believe it was John, I believe he was speaking about the church. And I believe he said some things that I believe would be good for us to know and hear tonight. So I'd ask that you pray for us. The second book of John, the second Epistle of John, I guess you might say. The first chapter, which there's only one, so it won't be hard for us to determine which is where we'll be reading from tonight. But we'll start with the first verse, and it says, "The elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also they that have known the truth, for the truth's sake which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever. Grace be with you, mercy and peace, from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. I rejoiced greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father. And now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment, that as ye have heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it. For many deceivers are entered into the world, who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves, that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If they come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. Having many things to write unto you, I would not write with paper and ink, but I trust to come unto you and speak face to face, that our joy may be full. The children of thy elect sister greet thee. Amen." And the title that has been laid upon our heart, and I don't really know how in the world I'm going to get this connected, but if Lord will be our helper, we'll be able to do that, and I believe if we'll follow Him, He can do that. But the thought that we have tonight is, "They shall walk with me in white." And that is a typical sermon you might hear about the bride. And maybe if we'll be able to tonight, we might touch on some of the things of the bride. That is a huge subject that I believe I could stand and preach now. I could preach next Sunday night. I could preach probably from now until the middle of next year and not even touch all of the things that there is to know about the bride. And you say, "Preacher, it seems very simple to know everything about the bride. The bride's the church." Yes, it is. You hear a lot of times the bride or the church referred to as a lady or a woman. And you hear me a lot of times speak about her in a she. You hear me tonight saying her. It's a habit. It's something that we've labeled the church. And I believe tonight that the church is a lady. And I believe she's a lady that is as pure. And I believe she's spotless as far as the Lord is concerned. And I believe the bride that God has will be perfect when He gets to heaven. I know tonight you've heard the saying. You've heard people say that God's church is not perfect. And I believe that to be the truth. You've heard people say, if you find a perfect church, don't join it, because as soon as you do, it won't be perfect anymore. And I believe that to be the truth. I don't believe you're ever going to find a perfect church in this life. There's not a one of them that's perfect. But I believe someday God's church, when it gets to heaven, I believe it will be perfect. I believe she'll be spotless. The Bible speaks about her being a bride, about her being a chaste bride, about her being a pure bride. And we think about what white means. It means purity. It means it's chaste. It's not defiled. And as the thought that I had, they shall walk with me in white, I thought about God's church and those that will be in the bride. I believe those that have been saved, their sins have been covered by the blood. They were scarlet, but they've been covered by the blood and they've turned as white as snow. But I also believe tonight there's going to be a whole lot of people that have been saved and said they've joined the church that will not be in the bride of Christ. And that's not a popular subject tonight. That's not a popular subject. It's not something the world wants to hear. It's not something our churches want to hear. And I believe tonight I'm among some of the best members the bride will ever know. I truly believe that. And you may say, preacher, you're speaking out of a heart of love. But I've been able the last few months to work with you all. And I've been able to see you all in action. And you all have changed my life in the way that you act around people. And the way that you connect with people. I believe this church is a great example of what God's bride should look like. And you may say, preacher, you're lifting us up tonight. I'm going to tell you something. When a church does things well, I believe it ought to be admonished for it. I believe it ought to be lifted up. I believe the church ought to be told when they're doing things right. I believe they ought to be let know when they're doing things right in the sight of God. I believe that. I believe in people. And you may, this is going to sound like I'm preaching a work salvation, and I'm not. But I believe those of us that have been saved, every day that we live is a work for the Lord. And we ought to be, as God's church, members of the Lord's church, we ought to be working to get into the bride. And that sounds awful to some of you maybe tonight. And for those that may not know what a missionary Baptist believe, and I'm sure most of you do, but we don't believe that everybody that has been saved gets in the bride. I believe there's a lot of people tonight that have been saved, have joined the Lord's church, and have their name on a church roll and have truly been saved. I know of quite a few in my own family that have been saved but don't go to church on a regular basis. I'm going to tell you something tonight. I believe that going to church is something that must be a prerequisite to get in the bride of Christ. If you never go, how can you be a part of something you never go to? How can you be a part of the bride if you never supported His church when you're on earth? When I think about those that will walk with Him in white, you know, I've heard many times people say, well, if not everybody gets in the bride, there's going to be people that are going to be jealous. I don't believe there's going to be any jealousy in heaven. I believe those that are in the bride are going to be honored by being in the bride. But I believe those that aren't in the bride, I believe they're going to be happy for those that are in the bride. Because I want you to know something, they're going to be so happy that they're there, they're just going to be praising the Lord for allowing them to be there. But it's going to be a great honor for those that can walk with Him in white as His bride. It's going to be a great honor for those. And I hope and pray every single one of us that are here tonight, when we get to heaven, we'll be able to walk with the Lord in His bride and say that we're part of that. I believe there's some wonderful Christian people here tonight that serve the Lord with everything they've got. And I believe there's a lot of people in the world, and we're going to read some of that. We'll go through that a little bit. That have tricked themselves into believing they're something that they're not. And how sad that is. And John was writing here, and he calls her the church, and I believe he's speaking to the church. He calls her an elect lady. You know, I believe God's church is special. If you don't know it by now, you need to know it now, that I believe God's church is special. I believe she's great. I love the Lord's church. I love the Lord's church wherever she's at. You know, there. When I was preaching on appointment, I was able to visit so many of the Lord's churches. I think it was upwards of 70 that I was able to preach in from the time that I started up until I was able to come here. And I've preached at one or two since I've been here that I'd never preached at before. But I believe there's a lot of good sound churches that the Lord has. I believe that God has His churches spread out all across this land and country. As a missionary Baptist, as God's preacher, I believe tonight, and you've heard me teach on this on Wednesday night if you've been here, but I believe that God's church is a local, visible body that can be seen by the world. Amen. I don't believe in a universal church. Never have, never will. You can't convince me it's in the Bible. It's not in there. There's not one scripture in this whole entire Bible that says we're all connected by something invisible. Why would God set something up that was invisible? He wanted it to be seen by the world. I'm convinced of that. But he calls her the elect lady, and he talks about her children. Who are the children tonight? I believe those are members of the Lord's church. I believe the Lord's church, I told you that I believe she is a she. And I believe she's beautiful. And I believe her children are those that are members of her. And this is necessarily something you've got to look at in your mind. We're not necessarily children of this church, but we are members of this church. And I believe as he was talking here, he was telling them about some of the good things that he had seen coming out of this church. And he tells them, he says, "Whom I love in the truth. And not I only, but also all that have known the truth." You know, there's a lot of people tonight, and as I read in your hearing this morning, the Lord told them, he said, "I have overcome the world." But you know, there's a lot of people tonight that don't like the Lord's church. They don't. It's not popular. We're not among some of the greats. You know, as far as the world looks at, I believe as far as it goes, we're the best in the world. There's nobody greater than God's old-time missionary Baptist churches. It just doesn't get any better than that. But if people were to look at us from the outside, if they could just see physically about us, they wouldn't think we were much. But oh, if they could just see what's on the inside of us. If they could just know what our true churches really know. And it tells us, it says, "I love thee in the truth, but not I only, but those also that have loved, that have the truth, that know that they have the truth." I believe those that have been saved, I believe they love God's church. Why? Because she holds the truth. There's not another group, another organization in this world that I believe has the truth like God's church has the truth. Now, I want to say this tonight, and I don't want you to get mad at me or run up and run out of here on me. I believe there are people tonight that are teaching a scripture like we teach it, but I believe they're teaching it in a slant that's not right. I believe there's a lot of people that are trying to teach God's Word right, but they're not doing a good job of doing it. They're not teaching a full gospel. They're not teaching the full counsel of God. They're teaching what they want to teach, and they're not teaching the whole counsel that God has. They don't have the truth if they're not teaching the whole counsel of God. The Bible says, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." Amen. There's no other way that sets people free. I believe that God's church is a spearhead in getting the truth out. Now, let me say this too. I believe there are a lot of people that have been saved in other denominations. It's not popular. You may not like it. But I believe when people hear the truth and they're pricked in the heart, they can get saved anywhere, anytime, any place. Never in the Bible does it say you've got to be in an old-time missionary Baptist church when you get saved. But I'm going to tell you something. They have to hear the gospel at some point in their life. They have to. It's part of it. It's got to be told to them. And it's got to be told to them in the truth. And I'm going to tell you something tonight. I believe in preachers preaching the gospel. And I believe God's church teaching and preaching about the Lord's truth. But I'm going to tell you something. Those of us that have been saved, those of us that have a testimony of God's Word, that can be shared and that can prick people's hearts. A testimony will never take place of preaching. But what it can do is it can show the world that there is a difference about us. There are a lot of you tonight that may be in Walmart or at Publix or wherever you might be this coming week or whenever you might be there. You may be out Christmas shopping, doing whatever you may need to be doing. But somebody, and you just never know. I've told you in times past about the young man outside of Tate Page Hall there at Western, and he doesn't know me from Adam. As far as I know, we've never seen each other before. But one day we were sitting out there and he saw me have my Bible out and God's talking to me about why I had my Bible there. Why was it open? And it just opened up a world of opportunity to tell him what I truly believed. And I gave him one of those, the gift of love from Mount Calvary Missionary Baptist Church. You know, it's an outreach of this church all the way up in Bowling Green, Kentucky. It's going out. And I believe that can be used for the Lord's honor and glory. I truly believe that. I believe it's got truth in there. I believe we ought to share them. If you don't have any, grab you a few before you go out and give them out. They're not going to do us any good sitting on a shelf getting dusty. I believe we ought to give them to people so that they can know what we believe. It's high time as God's church, as the true church, we stand firm and stand bold upon what God would have us to stand upon, because the world is teaching doctrines that are not right. And if they're going to be combated, we're going to have to do it. And maybe I've gotten off from they shall walk with me in white, but you know what? We're just going to follow the Lord. We just got to do what He wants us to do. And he goes on, he says, for the truth's sake which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever. I believe God's church will have this gospel forever. I truly believe that there are some churches that have erred and they have gone astray. And I'm going to tell you something. I don't believe that those that have done that are going to be in the bride of Christ. I don't believe that every denomination or every one that claims to be a church, I don't believe they filter into the bride. I believe the only ones that can get into the bride are those that are truly members of God's church. Ones that He holds the keys to. Not these other ones that are running around teaching everything else because they don't have the truth that God's church does. And you may say, preacher, that's pretty tough. But it's the truth. And I firmly believe we've got to teach that. And I want to hit this point, if I don't hit anything else, tonight, that fourth verse. When I talk about they shall walk with me in white. Who's going to walk? Who's going to do this? The Lord's church has great opportunities. It has opportunities that I believe that other people don't have. I believe that it has opportunities to teach the gospel in places that other people don't have the opportunity to. But what John was saying here in this fourth verse, it says, I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father. And now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. What greater thing can be said about the Lord's church and His members than to say they love one another and they love everybody? What greater thing could He have said than to say, I found your children walking in the truth. I found your children doing great things. You know, I love when people that know that where you go to church, and sometimes I've had this happen recently, when people have commented about how wonderful and how nice that people are at Mount Calvary, because when you come in, they feel the love, they feel God's Spirit. What a joy it is to be your pastor and for people to be able to say, you have a church that loves God and loves His love, people. What greater thing can be said about members of the Lord's church? You know, if people are going to be in the bride, and I believe, as I've said many times, that we're not going to know down here if we're going to make it in the bride. And you may wonder, how do you get there, preacher? I'm going to tell you something. If we believed or if we thought we were going to be in the bride, maybe we'd slack up. But I'm going to tell you something. As God's church and as God's people, we have to continue to press on and continue to work in His church and labor with one another. It says love one another. It doesn't mean just love those that are here tonight or love the ones that were here this morning. It says love everybody. Love one another. I believe God's church must show love in a way that this world doesn't understand. You know, I thought about the young man, and I'm not going to call his name. Most of you know his name, but that visited with us on that Wednesday night. What an opportunity that we have as God's church to show people what we have. You know, if we were to next business meeting vote and say, well, we're going to go back to just Sunday morning service, Sunday school, and Sunday night services. We're going to cut out the Wednesday night service and Sunday night service. You know, we just don't have that many people coming, so there's really no need in doing it. We'd miss out on a whole lot of opportunities that we wouldn't get otherwise. I believe God's church, I told you that I believe she's a local, visible body. Yes, this building sits here. Day in, day out, it's been here for a number of years, since 1980 or 1981, I believe. She's been here. This building right here has been a beacon to this community. Members have come and they've gone. Some have joined the church and they've died before they were ever able to move their membership anywhere else. Some have passed this way and are still here tonight. Some are charter members that are still members of this church. But I'm going to tell you tonight that I believe Mount Calvary Church has been a staunch supporter of what God supports all through her years. And I believe it would be a sad sight for us to not meet every time that we can so that we might lead some lost soul to the cross. I believe it's imperative, brothers and sisters, that we continue on teaching and preaching every opportunity that we have. You know, it's a wonderful thing for people to be able to come in here that have never heard what the true church believes. You know, that man, he come in here and he sits down and he listens to the lesson that Brother Colvin teaches. And afterward, he begins to ask questions. And I thought, what an opportunity. And you all sprang to action. It was like you all just couldn't wait to tell him the goodness that God has given you. You just couldn't wait to share what this church was all about. What a joy that is when we can walk with the Lord. What a joy it is to be able to show that to the world. You know, I believe walking with those that are going to walk with the Lord in white, I don't believe it's going to be the run-of-the-mill church members. Now, you may say, preacher, you're going to have to define yourself on that. I believe there's going to be a lot of people that have been good to the Lord's church. But I'm going to tell you something. I believe those that are in the bride have gone above and beyond the call of duty. Now, there's a lot of people. My great-grandmother was one of the best Christian ladies I have ever met in my life. But you know, she couldn't go to church all the time. She couldn't make it there anytime the doors were open. But you know, I believe the Lord saw that. I believe He knew the shape that she was in. Going to church every single time the church doors are open, sometimes things just happen and we can't get here. I believe God sees our lives, and I believe He sees the circumstances that we're in from time to time. But I believe God's church, those that are going to walk with Him in the white, I believe those are going to be the ones that have held their banner up high, those that have put their light on the candlestick, those that have gone above and beyond the call of duty, and they've led people to the Lord, that they have taught and preached and sang and done everything that God would allow them to do. I'm going to tell you, there's people tonight that are just chomping at the bit to serve the Lord, and I love seeing people like that. I love seeing people that want to serve the Lord. I believe, and from time to time, when I was growing up, we sang a song, "A Servant's Heart." You know, I believe a lot of times we need a servant's heart. You know, myself included. You know, when I was called to pastor this church, and as I became the pastor of this church, I became the under-shepherd. I became the one that the Lord entrusted to watch this flock, to help out, to be here to serve. And I'm going to tell you something, there is no greater joy than I find than being able to serve this church in the capacity that I do. But I pray every day that the Lord will give me a greater servant's heart, that He'll give me a greater desire for this church. I'm going to tell you something. I lay in bed at night wondering, and I pray and I agonize over what we can do to see lost souls saved. But I believe if we'll trust God and we'll continue to have our servant's heart, I believe we're going to get there. Brothers and sisters, those who are going to walk in the white, they're going to be the ones that have held on. They're not going to be the ones that have run away from God in the times that got rough. They're going to be the ones that stuck with His church. Those that have held on. And I believe we're still holding on here tonight. If we weren't, if you all weren't, and I can still say this, if you all weren't, you may not be here tonight. If there weren't some of the best people that I know that serve the Lord, if it weren't for you all could have very well said, "Let's close it down. Let's find somewhere else to do this. We're not doing any good anymore." But you know what? The lights would have turned off. Somebody else would have moved in. And they'd have been teaching something that was not right here in this building. I'm not looking to that. And I don't even believe that's a possibility. I don't believe we ever need to look there anymore as Mount Calvary Church. Let's always wipe that off and say, that's not going to happen to us. Because I believe that is this church. Because those that are going to walk in white, they're not going to give up. I want to read these verses of Scripture. And I'm going to try to move on, and I'm going to try to close tonight. I don't want to wear your patience tonight. When I got up here, I thought, well, I won't be up here long. I'll get this one done and over with, and I'll get them people out here by 7 o'clock. But you know, sometimes the Lord allows us to preach. He just opens us up, and sometimes we just got to do what He'd have for us to do. The 8th verse. It says, "Look to yourselves that we lose not of those things which we have wrought, but that which we receive a full reward." And it says, "Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. And he goes on to tell them that he is coming to them to speak face to face. And Brother Terry Parker, a few weeks ago, mentioned something to me and I had forgotten about it. And I had this verse or this thought had really not come to me in a long time. And he talked about how Paul walked away from people that wouldn't hear the truth. Don't cast your pearls before swine. I think that happens a lot of times. And you may say, preacher, you're going to have to elaborate a little bit. I believe there's a lot of times that we spend a lot of time casting our pearls before swine, people that will never listen. And I believe very strongly tonight that we need to give everybody the fullest opportunity that we can to teach and preach them the gospel. I believe we need to tell them everything that we can to show them the true plan of salvation. But sometimes people just aren't going to listen to us. They're not going to adhere to what we're teaching. They're not going to adhere to what we're preaching. And I don't believe that salvation is a decisional thing. But until they get willing to seek the Lord, they're not going to get saved. It's just not going to happen. They've got to be willing to seek the Lord. But there, as he was talking here, he says, don't abide with those that are teaching false things. But you abide in the doctrine of Christ. And he goes on to say, and don't bid them Godspeed. And I want to make mention of this, and I want to read the verse. If they're coming in to you and bring not this doctrine, what doctrine? The truth. Receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. Now, Brother Colin made mention of this morning in Sunday school, and I don't know how we really got there and where we went afterward. But he said something about how there's a big push, and actually it may not have been here. I'm not actually sure where I heard it, so you'll have to just trust me on this. Somebody said recently that there's a big push toward ministerial councils and ministerial alliances and how they want to get all the churches together and how they want to push all their beliefs in one mold. That's a big push in today's life. But the Bible says, be ye separate. Be separate. Just because, and I believe me and Brother Bobby may have had this conversation this afternoon maybe. And we were talking about when the church here had to meet over in another church's gymnasium or fellowship hall or something. And he said, I guarantee you if the roles had been reversed, Mount Calvary wouldn't have let them use their building. Amen. And you may say, preacher, that sounds a little one-sided. But I'm going to tell you something tonight. We can't go along with everything that this world teaches. We just can't do it. We have to teach the truth. We have to stand upon the truth. And I've said it before, and I'm going to say it again. I'll say it as long as there's breath in my body. This pulpit, wherever the pulpit may be, it must be guarded to the fullest extent that it can be. If there's anything that ever gets behind this pulpit that is not preaching and teaching the truth, we need to call them out on it. You know how the best way to do that is? Know them before they get in here. Don't let them use your building. Don't let them infiltrate the church. And it says, don't even bid them Godspeed, for if you bid them Godspeed, you're partaking in their evil deeds. I don't want God to be able to look at Mount Calvary and say, well, they were partaking in something that is not of God's truth. I believe if we want our candlestick to be removed quickly, I believe we start doing things like that, and I believe it'll be gone before we can snap our fingers. I believe God has always had one vein of truth, and I don't believe he needs 15 other ones feeding into it to make it right. I believe God had the truth. He gave us the truth, and I believe if we'll stand upon that, if God's church will dunk itself in the truth and it will stay in the truth root and ground itself there, I believe its church has a great responsibility, has a great possibility to produce a lot of great members, a lot of great people that are going to walk with the Lord in light. Now, I made mention of that one place that you all are allowed to hold services. Thankful they allowed you all to hold services, but we wouldn't return that favor. You may say, preacher, that sounds really harsh and really hurtful, but I'm going to tell you this. This church building is not necessarily the church. But this church and the sign that stands out in front of it, it says Mount Calvary Missionary Baptist Church. And there are people tonight that are looking at us, guarantee you, as they go by tonight, and I can see the lights going by. They see that sign. It's not one that you just can miss. And no doubt, and I do it too, they'll drive by from time to time and they'll think, you know, I wonder what they believe. I wonder how they do services. I do the same thing. Anytime I go by a church and I don't know the name, never heard of it, I think, well, I wonder what they believe. You know, people are really curious about what Missionary Baptists are. And you know, I'll say this, and maybe I'm getting off topic. I'm about done anyways. But I've heard people say and accuse Missionary Baptists of a lot of things that just aren't true, that have never been in a Missionary Baptist church. They've heard somebody else say it, so guess what? They took it, stood on it as the truth. Brothers and sisters, the reason why we don't allow people here to do those types of things is because we want the truth to always be preached here. We don't want any false accusations, false truths being told about us. You know, if we let somebody else in here, they could come in here and say, well, those people say they're Mount Calvary Missionary Baptist Church, and they're not. I want people to know the people that meet here every time the doors are open are Mount Calvary Missionary Baptist Church. Because if it was anything else, if you really want to know the truth, they wouldn't be walking in white. I believe they'd be walking in scarlet. And brothers and sisters, we do not want to be those that are walking in scarlet. You say, preacher, where's that at? You go over and read in Revelations about the one that is the great harlot and what she wears. I don't want any part of that, and I don't believe you do either. I want to read a few more verses of Scripture, and then I'm going to try to close for you tonight. I had intentions of going here a lot earlier, but like I said, God knows what we need, when we need it, and how we need it. I want you to turn with me tonight, and it will scare you when I tell you where I'm going to be reading from, but the 19th chapter of the book of Revelations. Don't get scared on me just yet. I'm not going into the 15-headed beasts and all of those wonderful things. I'm not going there tonight to try to tell you what all of those things mean. I have these verses of Scripture, I believe, are going to be something that you all can identify with. The 19th chapter of the book of Revelation, 7th verse. And it says, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and His wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. And I followed his feet to worship him, and he said unto me, see thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. The 7th verse says, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife, the bride of Christ, the church, hath made herself ready. She's putting on the fine linen, the clean, the pure, white linen. It says the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. I believe it's going to be a very special thing to be in the bride of Christ. I really believe that. I don't believe that everybody's going to make it. Some people disagree with me on that. If you disagree with me, I'm not going to be upset with you, and I hope you won't be upset with me. But I believe the Bible teaches that right here it's going to be clean and it's going to be white. There are many tonight that I believe that, and I've told you this, and I maybe have said it tonight, that I believe that have joined the church with a testimony of salvation. And they're members of the church as far as having their name on the books and being a member of the church here. They have voting privileges. There's probably some on our church roll that haven't been in years. If they were to come back tonight, they would have the same voting privileges that you and I have. They're entitled to those. But I'm going to tell you something. In God's eyes, I just can't imagine that He would call them church members. You may say, well, their name's on the roll. I'm going to tell you something. Being a church member is far more than coming down, giving your testimony, and have your name on a church roll. Being a church member means you support the Lord's cause. You got to suffer with the Lord a little bit. You got to be a part of it. You got to do some things for Him. And you may say, preacher, you're kind of getting off on a works thing. I'm going to tell you something. People get scared when you start saying works, and maybe that's the reason we're the shape we're in as God's church. People didn't want to talk about works. They wanted to run away from it and say, well, you can't talk about works in the pulpit. Somebody's going to confuse it and say, you're teaching a work of salvation. I believe when we get saved, we ought to produce good works. We ought to produce fruit. James tells us our faith without righteousness and works is dead. You know, we've got to show what we are. I've heard the old saying, and you've heard it too, the proof is in the pudding. I believe that's very true. I believe it's very applicable. And I believe tonight Very much so. Those that are going to walk with Him in white. These are they that walk with Him in white. Those that walk with Him in white. I believe it's going to be a wonderful marriage ceremony. I have been, in the last year, I think I've done about 3 weddings. And I'll say this, there have most of the ladies that have been in there, I've seen them before they were brides, before they were in their wedding dresses. Some of them were beautiful, some of them not so much. But when they got in that wedding garment and they stepped out, the one that I was in the church for, the last one, you know, the wedding congregation maybe was about 15 people, just wasn't a lot there. Small wedding. Church was beautiful. Things were beautiful. Things were set up just as pretty as they could be. And she stepped out of the nave of the church there, and she started to walk down. And I mean, she was the most prettiest. She was the prettiest bride that I believe I'd ever seen in my life. I'm not being strange about it. I'm just saying she was a beautiful bride. Her dress was beautiful. She just had a glow about her. She was fixing to be a bride. She was beautiful. But I'm going to tell you something. There is no bride in this world that has ever been or will be as beautiful as the bride of Christ will be when she steps out to marry Jesus Christ on that wedding day. You know, even if I have to sit in the congregation and watch the wedding, it's still going to be a sight to behold. It's going to be the best wedding you've ever been to. I've been to quite a few. If you know me, you know that I don't enjoy weddings too much. I sometimes they can get a little long-winded, especially depending on what church they may affiliate with. But that wedding is going to be beautiful. And I believe it's going to be a true worship ceremony of the Lord and His true church. It's going to be wonderful. You know, I've said this and I'll say it now and I'm going to close. I believe the Lord and in God, I believe as they sit on the throne and His time draws near, and I believe it's drawing near. I believe He looks over every now and then and He says, "Are you ready?" And I believe the day that He says it's over, I believe He's going to say, "Son, go get your bride. Go get your children. Go get that you love and finally be married to your beautiful bride." I believe it's going to be wonderful. I hope and pray, and I'm going to say it again, and I believe it to be the truth. I believe the members of this church, the ones that support this church, and I believe everybody here tonight with everything within me, and there's some others that are members of this church that just can't be here on Sunday nights and Wednesday nights and different things, but I believe as far as things go, as far as what I can tell, and I've been able to be around you all quite a bit, I believe there are some of the best that the Lord's got that are members of this church. I truly believe that with everything within me. I believe it's got some of the best in the army that the Lord has. And I believe there's going to be some of you all, and I hope and pray. And I believe if I was the judge, if I was the one to say who got in the bride, I'd just say all of you got in there, hands down, because I believe you all are special people. And I believe there's going to be, I believe you'll be in there if we meet the Lord's criteria. And I'm going to say something else tonight, and then I'm going to close. I say criteria, and I don't mean there's just a big checklist that He's got on His wall, and He looks down at each of us and says, "Well, they've got this one, this one, this one. Oh, they didn't have this one. They're out." I believe that those that have suffered with the Lord, I believe those that have really tried to serve God with everything they've gotten. I believe there's some that have more than others, have the ability to serve in better capacity than others. But those that have served to the fullest of their ability, I believe God will recognize that. It's going to be a wonderful day, regardless of which side you're on. I hope and pray. And everyone should work as hard as they can toward being with those that are going to walk in white. I believe we're all going to be dressed in white because of our salvation. But those that are going to walk in white with Him to be His bride, it's going to be a wonderful honor. May God bless you. It's our prayer. I'll stop now.